Presentation of Hub City Radio Sports. Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
We said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know, we can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
And go indeed. Welcome on in. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen for a thirsty Thursday on FSA. Glad to be with you. Fun show on tap today. And we always say, broadcasters say all the time, oh, we got a great show lined up for you here today. Every show is a great show. And at some point in time, I think these broadcasters are lying. I think sometimes you tune into a show, not necessarily talking about sports here, but they always say that all the time, you know, whether it's a talk show or a morning show, or sometimes sports shows, they say, oh, we got a great show. And then you dial in for the whole thing, and you're like, yeah, that really wasn't a great show. But today is not one of those. We've got ourselves a great show indeed today, as we've got ourselves an opportunity to catch up with a couple of local guests, as Ron Krause, head coach of the Milbank Legion squad, and also helping out there with the amateur squad there as well. He'll be joining us here in about 15 minutes. And then really looking forward to a fun discussion towards the bottom of the hour, as Nate Bresky, he'll be joining us, former Northern State University Wolves football player, current head athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. He is a guy that's been on the scene for the last, he's been doing his thing, but quietly. This is kind of a thankless job. You know, it doesn't get a whole lot of publicity talking about athletic trainers and what have you, until you are really, really, really put front and center when you're perhaps even saving someone's life. Nate Bresky, he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour. Of course, there was the whole DeMar Hamlin situation here a couple of years ago in Cincinnati on that Monday night. Huge, pivotal game. Boy, playoff implications. And then all of that just kind of went away as Nate Bresky helped DeMar Hamlin there, and he'll be joining us towards the bottom of the hour, and I'm looking forward to that discussion here, Cobra, aren't you?
Yeah, no doubt about it. Just reading up on it, and he was right in the middle of it and saving DeMar Hamlin's life, and I remember watching that game, Monday Night Football. I think it was New Year's Eve, I want to say, or close to it. I watched the Penn State game. They were in the Rose Bowl against Utah, and after that was that game, that Bills and Bengals game. And you mentioned it had a playoff implications, and the game just stopped. And you had to save you were in a situation where football didn't matter at that point. And Bresky was a big reason why DeMar Hamlin's still alive today. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I think most athletic trainers – there's probably not a whole lot of stress. I mean, you can deal with a sprained ankle or a strained shoulder, but when you're literally looking at life and death, it's amazing that he didn't panic, or any of the Buffalo Bills staff didn't panic in a moment like that. I mean, there are times where, you know, it was looking kind of bleak there a little bit, and we'll get his thoughts on that coming up towards the bottom of the hour. A really fun discussion with him, I think, coming up, and looking forward to that discussion with him, with Nate Bresky, towards the bottom of the hour, right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. I'm David Tewksbury, joined alongside by the Cobra. And toss this thing skyward for this Thursday installment of The Jump. I didn't get a chance to ask, how you doing today?
Good, how are you?
a little under the weather. I think my my daughter gave me a little sniffle, but nothing too crazy. Just a tiny little stuffed up nose. But instead of feeling like $1 million, I feel like $428 or something like that here today. So doing okay, not too shabby. But speaking of the Buffalo Bills, of course, Nate Bresky, towards the bottom of the hour, have you seen some of the renderings, some of the video that's come out of their brand new stadium? It's not this year, but in 2026, the Buffalo Bills will be in their brand new $2 billion with a B stadium. And I tell you what, just looking at photos and some of the video that's come out with it, I think that's going to be a really nice place to play.
Yeah, it's just going to be very unique. We've seen a lot of places that have been in National Football League now with the new Raiders Stadium in Vegas. We see it with SoFi, things of that. And now it's coming to Buffalo. It's just going to add that home field advantage for the Bills. And looking at some of the video and pictures I saw earlier this morning, it's going to be a pretty unique place. And I think for the fans of Buffalo, definitely pretty cool. Something that they can call new, and they can make it their own unique way. I think they're going to enjoy it.
Their new Highmark Stadium is what it's being called there. And just judging at some of the photos of the upper deck, it looks like it's pretty steep up there. And I guess the way they designed it is they've got this, I'd call it a semi-roof over it. It's not quite a full dome, but there's like a semi-roof over it. Kind of think like old school Texas Stadium. Remember Texas Stadium before Jerry World? They had like the big middle that was kind of open air. It's kind of like that, but the open air in the middle is more indeed open. But towards the top end there, sounds like they designed it where it's supposed to be very, very loud for opposing fans because it goes right off the top of the roof and then bounces right down to the field. So, you know, we talk about CenturyLink Field or Lumen Field now for the Seahawks. It's a great home field advantage. A lot of loud noise there. Same thing with Arrowhead Stadium there. Or isn't it like Geha Field now or something? Or G-E-H-A, however that's pronounced.
Yeah.
I can never keep up with the name of these stadiums. But, you know, looks like this next stadium here for the Bills might be one of the more louder ones in the NFL.
Yeah, it's got that bowl-type feel to it just from looking at the pictures. So it's going to capture the noise. It's going to be tough for home teams or away teams offenses to communicate. I think it's going to be a huge advantage for Buffalo. I mean, you go to Buffalo now, it's still a big advantage. So just imagine those fans in that building. that's going to be a tough ticket next year, I'll tell you what.
No question. So looking forward to that new Highmark Stadium that opens up next year. On the Minnesota Twins perspective, nice win for them last night, taking care of business over the Chicago Cubs. I think most people could see this coming, right? I mean, you got a team that's under 500 going up against the first-place team in the NL Central, and they're going for a sweep here today, the Minnesota Twins are, so we'll see how that all plays out. 12-10 for your first pitch today. I was joking with Rusty before he left to the Twin Cities to check out the games, and he's like, oh, man, I got to watch David Festa pitch. I'm like, yeah, good luck with that. He actually had himself a pretty nice outing there last night. 5 1/3, scattering only 3 hits, 2 runs, 3 strikeouts. Twins get the job done there yesterday. Now, one of the guys that did not pitch but will be pitching coming up tomorrow is Joe Ryan. Big shout out to Joe Ryan. He has been named to the American League All-Star team. He's replacing Houston's Hunter Brown. First All-Star nod for the Joe Ryan Express, and you know, it's going to be a pretty hot ticket. You talk about that with the Bills. Going to be a hot ticket in town tomorrow. You've got Joe Ryan v. Paul Skeens. Looking forward to that. That'll be tomorrow there in the Twin Cities, 7:10 for your first pitch. But big shout out to Joe Ryan. Congratulations to him. He is headed to the All-Star game.
Yeah, and he's deservingly so. He's been the best pitcher for the Twins. Really, since Pablo Lopez has been out, he's really had to step up and pitch well. And the Twins have gotten some good starting pitching here this week. That's why they've won the 2 games against Chicago. Simeon Woods Richardson 2 nights ago and Festa there last night going 5 1/3. And the bullpen's been strong. The bullpen's really done a nice job. They've gotten some insurance runs late in this series as well, especially on the game on Tuesday. But I'm surprised with how well they're playing right now, considering it didn't look good in Miami. And you come home, you win those 2 epic games against Tampa late, and sometimes that can spark a little momentum. You look at the schedule, you got one of the best teams in all baseball, the Chicago Cubs coming to town. And they've really outplayed them here the first 2 games. You get a sweep if you win today, and then you welcome in a Pirates team that's just so up and down, you never know what you're going to get with them. They're not great, so if you can possibly get 2 out of 3 there, wow, you really you're putting yourself in a decent position heading into the second half of the season after the All-Star break. And Joe Ryan, for certain, deserves to be an All-Star. And I said it yesterday, I think Byron Buxton should be an All-Star as well. And we'll have to see if he gets there as a reserve or something like that.
Well, didn't he take a shot to the hand there yesterday? So he was supposed to be a home run derby participant, but after taking a shot to the hand, he left the game there yesterday, which makes me a little bit leery about that. But it's just like death taxes, and you know Byron Buxton is not going to play a full season. Hopefully it's nothing serious, and hopefully he can partake in the festivities next week. But, man, if that guy had bad luck, it'd be better than the luck he's had.
I can't stand those injuries, those hand injuries when you get hit by a pitch. You're trying to move away from the ball, protect yourself. They say, hey, turn your back, and the ball's coming in so hot you can't get your hands out of the way. That's an injury you're seeing a lot more, it seems like, in baseball today, those high and in hand injuries on hit by pitches. And I just, as a fan, it's very frustrating because he's having one of the better years of his career right now. And he looked healthy, he looked strong, and now you're going to have now you might be out with a hand injury. I mean, really? That's tough.
But the good news is it did hit the pad.
That is good news.
So probably, I mean, I'm speculating, they always say in broadcasting school, they say never speculate. Well, I'm speculating now that probably nothing too serious. I don't think he fractured his hand. Watch, the word comes out. Byron Buxton fractures. I hope that's not the case. But it did hit the pad, so I think he's going to be all right. And, yeah, he's just one of those guys that's had really, really tough luck as it pertains to the injury bug. And finally, time for a little on this day in sports history. This one came out yesterday, so I'm a little one day tardy on it. But one day ago, 15 years ago on July the 9th, that was, of course, yesterday, we got the classic not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, LeBron James and the Heatles. Remember that with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James? They put on this huge, huge pomp and circumstance show for them, and that was like the biggest
waste of time.
A, waste of time. And B, it's basically like when the NBA jumped the shark.
Yes.
And also kind of like when LeBron James just went full heel. Like, you see that with Stone Cold Steve Austin or The Rock or Triple H.
Yeah.
It's like everyone loves those guys and they make this classic heel turn. That was like LeBron James turning heel in the WWE.
That really was. That changed the landscape of the NBA. That started the super team trend. Everybody was looking for the next big three after that. And the not one, not two, they got, what, how many did they get? Two?
I think they got two.
So they got two. They didn't get how many they were counting. But that started the LeBron made the NBA finals like 10 years in a row, and everybody was trying to look for the super team. And now super teams, we talked about this during the NBA finals because the teams that made it were 9-10 deep and didn't have those. They worked through the draft. It's just amazing how the league changes now. But yeah, I remember that, and it completely changed the landscape of the league because super teams were a thing. You saw what Golden State did when they added Kevin Durant. That was another thing that happened that I wasn't a fan of. So yeah, I guess LeBron did go full heel though.
Yeah, full heel move. And to your point, you mentioned Golden State, but even before Kevin Durant was there, remember their tagline was strength in numbers. They had a great bench. You know, had Andre Iguodala coming off the bench. And
yeah.
Harrison Barnes was solid. He wasn't one of those guys you'd say, you know, he's going to go out every single night and give me 25-13, but he just solid players. They had a bunch of good guys there off that bench. So, yeah, it's interesting. We've gone from super team to now, what is it, seven straight years of consecutive years of different championship teams. And I think it's interesting how we've kind of sort of shifted away from that model, but still it's kind of lingering to a certain degree. I mean, look what Houston's done. They're bringing in Durant again.
Yep.
Another hired gun. Another guy from the Wild West, feels like. So pretty interesting how it's all worked out. But yes, that was on that date in history 15 years ago yesterday. Coming up next, we're talking some baseball. Ron Krause, he'll be joining us on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Stay tuned. This is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, daily sports talk show Monday through Friday between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. Smash that like button, share the stream, helps out with the algorithm, this nebulous thing that just pops up randomly. Like government cheese. Wait, what? He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Glad to be with you on this Thursday installment of the show. Ron Krause, head coach of the Milbank Post 9 Legion squad, joins us on the phone line. Coach, thanks for taking some time this morning. How are we doing?
Good. How are you guys today?
Living the dream. Yeah, no complaints.
Doing good. Thanks for coming on.
You bet. No problem.
Yeah, absolutely. It's our pleasure for sure. And, you know, you said you just pulled up to the baseball field there, and, you know, Matt was kind of joking off there. He's like, we got to talk about the birthplace of Legion baseball being Milbank. It just, it's death, taxes, and Milbank baseball in terms of the Legion side of things. You guys really wear that as a badge of honor, don't you?
Yeah, you do. We, you know, it's one of those things where we're very proud to be the location where it all started. You know, and exceptionally this year with it celebrating 100 years, you know, Milbank, when it got all started back in the day, you know, I mean, you look at what baseball was then and what opportunities for kids there were, and you look now 100 years later, how many thousands and thousands of kids have been involved in American Legion baseball throughout the years, and, you know, us being the birthplace where it all got started is pretty remarkable, really, and our community is definitely wrapped around it now, and it's going to be an exciting weekend for us.
And it looks like you debuted last year, was that right? The new baseball field there in Milbank?
Yes. We had an orientation or original game last year. We played some games on it last year. But this year was kind of the inaugural year that really got going. And we've had some big tournaments. We had a 12-team tournament here about 3 weeks ago. And, you know, it's a complex that's growing every time we turn around. And we have a new press box out today and new dugouts are done. And things are coming together, and I think overall, you know, the new field is, you know, it really mirrors what a pro field is. I mean, I guess if you've been to Target Field in Minneapolis, this is what it's patterned after. So it is a fabulous place to play ball, and everybody that comes to play are real excited to be here.
What's that line from Christmas Vacation? She's a beaut, Clark.
There you go.
I'm looking at the photo. I'm looking at photos of it, Coach. It's really got a lot of cool character, and that's something we talked about with Coach Ganelli here a couple weeks ago. We said if you could do something different about Fossum Field, kind of give it its own character, you know, different dimensions or something different about it, what would you do? And it looks like for you guys, this really is unique. You know, if you take a look at, I guess that'd be what, right center field, it's kind of, it edges out a little bit more. Can you just kind of talk about the dimensions of the
field?
It's
pretty deep out there in the very, you know, kind of it lutches out there in right center there where it's just about 420 feet to the post. So it takes a shot. You get one in the gap there and you can run a long way. So, I mean, yeah, it has some unique features. I mean, in left field, we have a high wall there. You know, it's still 307 down the lines, but we've got a 15-foot high fence on that part of that field and then goes down to a 12-foot and then back down to a 6-foot. So it has the unique characteristics, and that was kind of when they designed this. That was one of the things that we really wanted to show some of its own character, to have its own look to it. You know, our old field where we used to play over by the high school, you know, that had its features as well. We had a high wall there and stuff like that, and they kind of implemented it into this here, and it really turned out well. It's just a fabulous place to play ball.
Tukes is smiling right now, Coach, because we literally just talked about having its own unique feel last week with baseball fields. And how's the first season or the inaugural season been going for you guys on the new diamond there?
Real good. We've had a lot of games, anywhere from our 14 U teams all the way up to the amateurs have played out here. And on the docket this year with all our tournaments, there's going to be 94 total games played on this field this year. So it's going to be a real testament of how this field can handle that. I think the grounds crew and stuff that are doing it now, I've found out that what it takes, and it's been really, you know, been really absorbed by all the teams that just love to come here and play. We've even had some teams say, you know, hey, we'd rather come to your place and play than play on our field, you know, and all that. But it has really been remarkable, some of the sayings we've had about it, and it's moving forward. You know, we had that Heritage tournament here. I think it was June 19th through the 22nd. We had 12 teams here. We played 18 games on it in 4 days, and we really a test to see how good it can withstand all that And of course, that was the week where it was 90, 95 degrees and hot all through it. And, you know, it came through with flying colors. It really did. So it's just a testament of what, you know, it costs a lot of money to do this. You know, this field sits on sand. It sits on 10 inches of sand and clay. And it takes care of the water. I mean, I've been out here when we've had an inch rain and you can see water all over the skin and 45 minutes later, the water's gone. I mean, it just permeates through and, you know, it's got a fabulous drain system in it. And I tell you what, it is what a pro field is. This is pretty much what we have.
Can't ask for much better than that. Ron Krause, our guest here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. I'm curious, why didn't you guys choose to go for the field turf on the infield? Because it's going to get a lot of use, like you mentioned. But you know what? You went for the natural grass, or at least judging from the photos, it looks like natural grass anyway. What was kind of the thought behind that?
Well, you know, early on when we first started this process before COVID, you know, our original plan was we were going to go to turf. We thought, you know, we looked at that and looked at what, you know, the cost was, the replacement cost and all that, and kind of weighed it both ways. And, you know, got to talking to the outfit that designed the field and the sod and stuff and the sod companies, and they were all present and told us that, well, we understand what you're looking at. But, you know, it's turf is hot. You know, when it's 90 degrees, the heat just boils off turf. And I get that. I mean, I understand that. And personally, I'm a former park and rec manager. So I know what it takes to take care of turf. And I know what it takes to take care of a grass infield. And the workload for a grass infield is double what it is for turf. And I think we're finding that out now, you know, looking forward, you know, for the weather conditions, you know, the turf is definitely the way to go. I mean, because as soon as it quits raining, I mean, you basically can go play. Now this year, you've got to wait, you know, 45 minutes to an hour, and hopefully the sun comes out and gives you a chance to get it dried up and stuff. But it's, you know, it was definitely a thought early on. And then we've kind of went, the powers that be that wanted to do this said, we want to go all natural grass. That's what baseball should be played on. And I said, I went along with it. And, but we also found out what it costs to maintain an all grass infield and outfield. It is quite substantial, but, it is a beautiful playing surface. There's no doubt about it.
This upcoming weekend's a big one for you guys. I'm looking here. You guys are hosting the National American Legion Centennial Classic in honor of the 100th year of the National American Legion baseball program. It looks like a four-team tournament. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, we've got the four teams coming in. We got Broken Bow Nebraska's coming in. The national headquarters are the ones that picked these teams. We didn't have anything to do with this. This whole centennial tournament was put together by the national committee in Indianapolis, and they're the one that set this all up, and they just wanted it here to celebrate the 100th anniversary. But like I said, Broken Bow Nebraska's coming here. Lemoore, North Dakota's coming here. They've been in the ranks of very, very successful in North Dakota. And then we got Glenwood Lowry Post out of Minnesota coming to play here. And, of course, Melbank, the host post, Post 9, will play. And those four teams will play in a round-robin format with a champion on Sunday. There'll be two games on Friday. And then we have a banquet tomorrow night at our Melbank Elementary School lunch area, and we're going to have guest speaker Joel Erdman, a former player for the Melbank Post 9, and he was a coach for a year or two, and now is in the collegiate ranks. He's out of Southern Alabama. He's on the athletic commission down there, and he's been part of the College World Series selection staff. So he's going to bring very good insight to these kids, I believe, for that as well. And then moving on to Saturday, we have three ball games there. There will be starting at 11:30, and I believe the second one is at 2:30, and the third one will be at 5:30. So Saturday's going to be a full day, and we hope to bring a great experience to these kids coming here. You know, it's pretty unique to be a part of the 100th anniversary and be able to play in a Centennial Classic like this. With you know, we have a lot of memorabilia that's going to be here to kind of show in the past and what the future looks to. We've got some people here from the national headquarters here, and they have lots of insights in Shelby, North Carolina, where the World Series is. They have several videos of that and stuff too. So we're really going to make it an all-around great experience for the kids here. To be a part of the 100th anniversary is something very, very unique.
And the birthplace of it, sunny, 77 degrees, northwest wind, 5 to 10.
That's
pretty
good.
I'm not trying to jinx anything here, but that's shaping up like a pretty doggone good Saturday. And
it really does. You know, we've played in the hot. We know what that is. And to have a comfortable, you know, everything for everybody else, it really means a lot to hope the weather will hold out and give us everything we need here to pull this off and have a great tournament. And with all the dignitaries here, we hope to put on a good show for them as well.
All right. Well, looking forward to seeing how you guys do out there. You've had a nice, successful season to this point as well, sitting at 10-4. So continued success, Coach. Appreciate you doing this. Happy hosting there this upcoming weekend, and thanks for being a part of the program today. We appreciate it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the opportunity. It's always time and fun to talk about American League baseball. And like I said, with us being the birthplace, it's pretty dear to my heart that we continue to move forward with it, and it should be a great, exciting weekend.
Amen. Thanks so much, Coach. We appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Ron Krause, head coach of the Milbank baseball squad, joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. That is going to be a perfect weekend for those guys out there. They are going to have a lot of fun. And, boy, I tell you what, that is a crowned jewel talking about that baseball field out there.
Yeah. And how about that right center? You kind of highlighted that. I mean, it's very unique. You got to hit an absolute moonshot to get one over the wall there. My guess is a lot of teams, they probably don't have to move back that far, like in the outfield. Like, I'd be interested to see what teams kind of do playing the outfield out there, because it's a little bit shorter in left field, then it's deep right center, deep left center, and then a little shorter down the right field line. So coaches are probably trying to think to themselves, hey, where can we put our guys in the right position to field the baseball in the outfield? That's pretty cool. You talked about it last week. We literally talked about it last week.
You did.
That different fields, what makes them unique? And that right center makes it unique. The little 15-foot porch in left, that makes it unique. That's good stuff there from Milbank.
You know, there's that song from Martina McBride, "This One's for the Girls."
Yeah.
That one was for all the dads out there, talking about the grass and the turf and everything else like that and what it does to maintain it. That was for all the dads out there that love mowing the lawn, and appreciate his perspective on that, and looking forward to a really, really great weekend out there in Milbank. Our thanks to Ron Krause here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Coming up next, we're going to head east and keep going east, all the way out to Buffalo, New York. Nate Bresky, head athletic trainer for the Buffalo Bills. It's a Thursday installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Live streaming with the video as well on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, and we're pleased to be joined on the phone line for the first time by Northern State alum, current Buffalo Bills athletic trainer, head AT, Nathan Bresky. Mr. Bresky, thanks for taking some time this morning. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. My pleasure. How are you guys doing?
Just living the dream.
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, Love it.
Love it. Good deal.
Yeah, no complaints at all here. And Webster to Aberdeen all the way. You've made a couple of stops, of course, in the athletic training field at other NFL teams and what have you. But certainly the last year and a half, 2 years or so has been, I'm sure, quite the whirlwind. We'll get into the DeMar Hamlin situation and everything else like that. But, I mean, kind of crazy the last 2 years of your life doing all this media and what have you. Has it kind of been a bit of a whirlwind for you?
Yeah, a little bit different. It's not something I'm used to. I would rather stay behind the scenes and not have any attention like this. I'm glad we had the outcome we had, and it was able to hopefully educate some people and make sure that, you know, the cardiac awareness of things is in a better place now than what it was prior to the incident.
And why athletic training? How did you kind of get into that? Was it something you were always interested in? Obviously, you played, you know, football and things of that, but the athletic training side of it, how did you kind of get started with that?
So when I was in high school, I had a back injury that ended up having to require a spinal fusion. And then I ended up having an elbow dislocation that continued to dislocate. I ended up having to have surgery with that. And that's where I got my first taste of athletic training and physical therapy. And so when I went to Northern to play football, I was able to, as one of my degrees, get into athletic training. And so I followed that route, and it was the internship route at the time, so I could play both football and also be a student athletic trainer. And, you know, I got to Penn State for athletic training, and then, you know, I went on to go on to physical therapy school to get some more extensive training and things, and that's kind of where it started for me. But I had some great mentors at Northern and really enjoyed it. I did end up having my freshman year, redshirt freshman year, ended up having another elbow dislocation that kept me out. And it's where I had time to really dive into the world of athletic training and see what it was all about. And that helped create the foundation for me for moving forward in this field. And it's kind of what has me where I'm at now. I went on to start a PT clinic for a while in Watertown, South Dakota, with my team doctors from Aberdeen. And that was a great deal, great success. Loved it there. Thought life was going to keep us there forever. And then the NFL came calling.
You know, this may be kind of a dumb question, but before we get into the NFL stuff, why did you keep playing? I mean, after all those injuries to your elbow, I don't know if it was throwing arm or non-throwing arm, but there was probably a moment in there you're like, I don't know if I should keep doing this, but put up some pretty good numbers at NSU. Why did you keep at it after all the injuries?
You know, that's a good question. I had a great line. You know, my boy Lee Keller right there in Aberdeen at Sweat Zone, you know, I had him taking care of me, and I had some good people there, but I really did you know, at one time I contemplated it and, you know, talked with the coaches. And at one time I did kind of back off and only was just going to be practice, basically practice squad quarterback, where I wasn't able to get hit. Wasn't, you know, risking injuries, because the doctor had said at one time, you know, if another injury like this, you know, I could lose the use of my arm. But things got fun again. You know, I got into the middle of things, and it was like things were happening. We were going through, and I remember Coach Heupel talked to me, and it's like, hey, you are playing really good ball right now. We need you to help lead this team, and you know, if you're willing to take a chance again, come back out here, you know, we'd love to have you back out on the field. And you know, just with talking with my family and you know, just kind of faith in God, you know, that moving forward, like, this was my calling to be able to have a chance to get back on the field. We went for it, and you know, luckily, I've been healthy, you know, per se, from that standpoint, and got through everything.
When Coach Heupel said that to you, was it a no-brainer you wanted to go back and play? I mean, I know you said you contemplated it with the family. So what was kind of – after you said that, what was your thought process?
So I probably took a couple weeks before I got back into it, if I'm being honest. You know, before we kind of went back, got our feet in the water, and then and then from there, once it was in, we were ready to go. And, you know, I just didn't look back. Then it was just like, okay, positive energy, and we're playing football.
Did some really good things there on the gridiron there, too. Nate Bresky here, head athletic trainer, I should say, with the Buffalo Bills, former Northern State Wolves quarterback then, so playing at the old Swisher Field. You get a chance to check out the new stadium up here, new Dakota Bank Stadium at all, or maybe watch the live stream or something like that?
Yeah, I've seen some games live streamed. I've been up there. I need to get up there for a more in-depth tour of the place and get around with everybody up there. It'd be great to get back for a alumni game or for Gypsy Days or something. But with our schedule, it's kind of tough to make it back there. But my dad took me around the area, you know, where they built it up, and it's just beautiful up there. He's done a really amazing job with that and the complex, and something I'm really proud of, to see how well it's done.
Just tell the Bills, hey, I need a weekend. Okay, you know, you guys can take a bye. No, Nate Bresky here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Okay, so take us to the day, January 2nd, 2023. Bills and Bengals, Monday Night Football, huge game, playoff implications. We kind of talked about that earlier before we brought you on the program. And DeMar Hamlin goes down. What's going through your mind? Kind of walk us through the day, walk us through the moment, and everything else that followed.
So So, I mean, our day is, I mean, play by play, there's always risk for injuries and things happening. So I'm always on guard, always aware of what's going on the field, off the field. You know, in this instance, you know, I was just literally, Josh Allen had recently gotten tackled on third or fourth down, rolled his ankle up. And so I'm on the sideline taping him up, looking at his ankle. And, you know, I'm trying to figure out, okay, is this guy going to be back? Is this a big injury, small injury? What do I have to communicate with coaches? Is he going to be good to go, you know, once he gets back in on the next series? And luckily with that guy, I don't have to worry because, you know, he's who he is. And when he tells me he's good, I know he's good. So I taped him up. So that was first and second down. I'm on the sideline taping him, getting him ready for the next series going in. And I literally walk up to the sideline, and, you know, the incident happened, the play happened where DeMar went down. It happened right in front of me. And as I'm watching, I'm like, oh, boy, that was not good. You know, you could just tell it was a different kind of fall, different kind of injury. So I instantly get out to the field, you know, within seconds there, just right to him, right to his head, and, you know, just controlling the head and the situation going on there. And then the rest of my team followed suit. My assistant athletic trainers and the physicians came in. And once we realized that it was more of a major incident, you know, we had the all call, which brought on the medical team from the Cincinnati, came in and helped us execute the emergency action plan. And you know, by the grace of God, we were able to keep him alive. And he's still out there playing football today.
Yeah, and we were talking before you came on to start the show. I mean, how do you kind of remain calm in a situation like that?
Yeah, good question. You know, practice. It's just like running plays for the, you know, Northern State. We practice our emergency action plan yearly, you know, 2-3 times a year. And we go through these incidences and scenarios where we start – practicing, okay, if there's a airway situation, if it's a cardiac situation, if it's a broken bone situation, if it's you name it, we think about it ahead of time, we prepare, we practice just like the players would for their games. We're doing that for the games as well to make sure that if something comes up, we know what we're doing, we're ready to go, and we're prepared for it. So That's kind of how in my mind, you know, I just feel like I've done it so many times, so many years, and that dates all the way back to Northern State University and really Webster High School. You know, we ended up doing CPR training, AED training with our coaches and PE classes, and my mom was a school nurse there, and so that was always around, and, you know, I don't know. I think it's muscle memory and learned repetitions, and you just keep going and with what you know.
Not to get too deep here, but you talk about your history with this. Do you kind of feel like God put you in that position to save his life that day? I mean, you're talking about your history at Webster and Northern State just like that. Does it kind of feel like, hey, you know, God put me in this position to save this man's life?
Yeah, God doesn't have accidents. God's in control, and I think there may be a, you know, divine intervention that was there that day, and without a doubt. And so, you know, I just am truly humbled, you know, if I was chosen to be in that situation to be able to handle it, that he gave me the strength and power to be able to do so. And, I think that the whole situation was maybe God created to help everybody to just slow down for a second and recognize, you know, that life is precious, and just to be aware of that, and you just, you know, the prayers that happened, and the just the community of the world, it felt like it just for a second, you know, felt really good and how it should be.
Saw on X there yesterday, Nate, that you were a recipient of the 2025 Hometown Hero Award. Can you talk a little bit about that a little bit? I saw that and thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, really neat deal. You know, Bill Weber and House over there, they called up and just said I received that award, and it was neat. It's humbling to know, you know, an athletic trainer in this world can still get recognized, and, you know, for some of this stuff. And I do a lot to try and help support South Dakota High School Football Coaches Association, because I feel like my coaches and my dad being a former coach, I recognize the impact that the coaches around the state of South Dakota and around the world that they have on these high school players and are able to make an impact. And I really just try to pay that forward for my kids and family and friends. And so getting an award like this, it's super humbling. We had a little get together in Grenville, South Dakota last week. I'm just on my driving. And we had a good time with it. But the award is very, I'm very thankful for it.
Now, you mentioned Grenville, South Dakota there, Nate. I've always been told they got a great fish fry. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, can you talk a little bit about that a bit?
Well, once you know the right people in town, you know, if they invite you over to their fish fry, that's where you're going to get the best fish fry. And, you know, there's some really good people in that area, so... Yeah, you just got to go up there, and they got the Long Branch Bar up there. We'll take good care of you as well.
Shout out to the Grenville Grade, for sure. All right, Nathan Nathan Bresky joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And we were talking before we brought you on the air here. You're going to enjoy the brand-new $2 billion stadium. How jacked are you to be out there next year?
That's exciting. Yeah, it's fun to get to watch it. Our practice facility and where we do everything is right across the street from it. And the old stadium, which we're still playing this season, is right next door to us. So getting to watch that be built on a daily basis and watching the construction is cool. And then just being part of the inner workings of seeing, you know, what's going to be, especially in my area, how – Mr. Pegula and the Buffalo Bills and what they allowed us to put in there is really exciting, because it's just going to be first in class and really a testament to the commitment that he has to the team.
When you talk about the Buffalo Bills, you know, the fans are great. Can you just talk a little bit from your perspective, Bills Mafia? I mean, they're a different level of fan.
That's no doubt. They are exciting, to say the least, and just passionate, and remind me of the Northern State days when you know, we had Gypsy Days going on out there, and then you just multiply that by 20 maybe. But they're passionate fans. You know, they bleed the Buffalo Bills and are all about it. And I mean, it really is. Sundays revolve around that, and you can just tell the mood of the city and the town if we win or lose.
Well, stay away from the tables on Sunday mornings out there. You know, we don't need you to get put through any tables or anything like that with the Bills Mafia there for the tailgates and what have you. But congratulations to this point on an incredible career already there at with the Buffalo Bills as the head AT. Appreciate you doing this, and thanks so much again. And good luck this year, and hopefully the Bills put together a nice, solid season. And, again, just thanks for being a part of the program today. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys. You guys take care.
Okay, likewise to you. That's Nate Bresky joining us here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, head athletic trainer. Wow, a hero for sure in every single way of the word. And helping him, DeMar Hamlin talking about that, helping him survive and being on the ESPYs and getting all these awards and doing all these sorts of media hits. You know, you typically don't have that as a head athletic trainer, and it sounds like to me he's handled it with nothing but class and grace.
No doubt about it. And he said, sometimes I'd rather stay behind the scenes, but sometimes you get called to the plate in a situation like that, and it's just hearing his perspective of just how calm, you know, you got to be in a situation. And he talked about the preparation leading up to, you know, when something like that happens. He mentioned Webster. He mentioned his time at Northern State. And, you know, just kind of cool hearing that side of it. And, like you said, man, definitely a pretty cool guy from a standpoint of all the injuries he's dealt with from football. And he still wanted to get out there and play. I mean, gutsy type of dude, no doubt about it.
I think it's just kind of interesting how he's just like, ah, I'm just taping Josh Allen's ankle casual, you know, no big deal. You know, we'd be over there like, oh, Josh Allen, oh my gosh. And, you know, that's just who he deals with on a day-to-day basis is these athletes, and very, very cool indeed, and definitely a hero. And DeMar Hamlin putting up some pretty decent numbers this last year as well.
He played in the secondary. He was more of a special teams guy when he started to come back, and then he was in the secondary, a vital part of their defense. He mentioned the Bills having a good season. They can have a good season. As long as they lose to my Ravens, they're all right. So outside of that, they got the upper hand right now, beating us in the playoffs last year.
I know that'd be a sore subject for you, but it was a good game between those two squads last year for sure. We'll come on back and wrap up this Thursday installment of The Hub after this. Final segment for your Thursday installment of The Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Two great guests today talking with Ron Krause and also Nate Breske here on Fox Sports Aberdeen 1420 and 98.5. And speaking of that motif of good, solid guests, Dan Porsche will be joining us live in studio tomorrow talking some Northern State football. And Dan's been just a pillar of consistency on that offensive line, played right guard last year. I believe he's moving over to center this year. And just judging from everything I'm hearing about that offense, I mean, Braylee Brown's blitzkrieg looking pretty good for 2025.
And Porsche there, the quarterback of the O-line there at center. And I always talk, I mean, how many times do I talk about being able to play multiple positions at offensive line? He's the prime example of that and the model of consistency.
Yeah, looking forward to that discussion with him live in studio. That is tomorrow right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Minnesota Twins, they go for the series sweep against the Chicago Cubs. First pitch slated for 12:10, which means pregame right around 11:30 right here on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. And, yeah, just the way you drew it up, going up against one of the best teams in all the NL, Twins are going for the sweep, huh? That's baseball, I guess. Huh?
Yeah, it really is. Twins are starting to play a little bit better. I've talked about this a ton, but the AL just isn't that great. So if you're right where you're at, 45 and 47 right now for the Twins, if you can be around that 500 mark, going into the All-Star break, if you can go on a little run the second half of the season, you're going to be right there. That wild card race in the American League is going to be must-see TV late in the season, I'm telling you.
And don't forget, Paul Skeens is pitching tomorrow, so the Pirates are probably good for a run or two, tops. Right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I saw his record. He's like 1-5. He's got an ERA under 2 his last 6 starts. It's unbelievable.
It's a sin, for sure. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.